Welcome to Question Christianity. I'm your host, Jerome.
Hi, I'm Rix.
Good afternoon. This is B.
Hi, and I'm Fifi.
And welcome to our first podcast. Well, not really our first, but it will be our first recording. Today, we're going to be discussing salvation. What is it? Why do we need it? And why is it important for people who want to go to heaven to get it? And can you explain it to someone else? Right? So, B, what do you think about that?
I'm starting first, huh? So, in looking at some information, one of the things that came out was that in terms of looking into what salvation means from a theological perspective, it is deliverance from sin and its consequences believed by Christians to be brought about by faith in Christ.
Okay, so in English, what does that mean?
So I will make it simple in terms of what it means to me. Mm-hmm. It means Jesus.
Okay, so here I am. I don't believe in this Jesus mumbo jumbo, mm-hmm. right? So what makes you special? Why you guys are always telling me need to get saved, you need to get saved, he needs to get saved. But some of you Christians don't, they don't look like they're going to heaven the way they act, right? But they claim to be saved. So how does that work? Is it some sort of convenience tool that you pull out? You know, you mess up. Oh, I'm saved. This is my get out of jail free card. How does that work? You know, honestly, how does that work? Can you explain that?
I would say in terms of talking to someone who's not a Christian, mm-hmm. first you got to convince them that they need saving. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You know, some people feel like they're good to go.
Yeah.
So if you try to jump straight to, you know, you need to be saved by Jesus and this and that, they're like, but I'm fine. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You know, so yeah.
So how do you break that ice? You know, because, all right, so you, let's say, for instance, you and I are on the same bowling team, right? And before we bowl, you always start praying. I'd be like, hey, you know, this God you're praying to ain't working because we're losing every game every week here. So why are you doing this?
I'm like, well, then maybe you need to pray too so we can get this together.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Or maybe it's the will of God that you lose. You never know. But I will say, you know, if we look biblically or look in the Bible where there was a man named Nicodemus, mm-hmm. and those who are believers are familiar with it. But basically, Nicodemus was a ruler, and he observed Jesus with his followers. He observed Jesus, the movement of Jesus, like how he walked around, how he behaved, how he was with his followers and disciples. And after observing, he asked Jesus, "What must I do to be saved?" And I think that a lot of times, like people who are not believers or who are not saved, there's a curiosity that comes by observing people, not necessarily their behavior, but just who they are as a person. Because, you know, those who are believers are not perfect. Salvation doesn't like, okay, say, you know, now you're perfect. Now you are the bee's knees. No, actually, no, it saves you from a horrible death and an ultimate separation from Jesus Christ.
So, okay. So let's go with that then. So since you're talking about separation, that you're talking about, I guess you're assuming hell, right? Like,
well, hell, I mean, well, yes. Okay, so I think that's a two-part. Mm-hmm. Is there a real heaven and hell? Yes. But yes, hell would be any type of separation from God. Like,
but isn't your God the God of love and your salvation? And why would he send me to hell because I stole from my grandmother? $5 to get some candy.
Well, it's not his will. Like, see, I don't think God is, he is not like us where we're like, oh, you're going to pay for this. I don't think God is like that. I do believe that God is love. But it's not his will for anyone to perish, which is the word of God. But which means, like, it's not his will that, like, for us to end up in, you know.
Okay, so
in brimstone and fire.
So if you say he's a God of love, then the Old Testament, was that love when he was wiping out entire civilizations?
I was just going to make the argument that salvation is love, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, if I don't think God cares about a bowling game or a Super Bowl or things of that nature. But I do think that, you know, if if salvation means saving you from being separated from me, and through this vehicle, for lack of a better phrase, we'll call it Jesus, then that is your way from where you are to where I am.
But I didn't really live that bad of a life, you know? So I was a good person. I never stole. I didn't do all that stuff in the Ten Commandments. You know, I didn't look at my neighbor's wife and want to sleep with them. I didn't steal from my grandmother. You know, I didn't kill anybody, right? I didn't.
And that person is perfect.
There are people who are going to say this.
Yeah, I know. Right?
You know what I'm saying? So what do you say to people like that?
I would think that for me is that may all be true. Mm-hmm. But I believe that as Christians, we're taught that we are to follow, emulate, try to be aligned with that which is Christ. The way he walked, the way he behaved, the way he thought, the way he led, the way he followed, the way he sacrificed, the way he loved. Those are things that even though you may be a great person, we still have opportunities to learn and grow as people through Christ or through that type of fellowship.
Okay, so as a non-believer, what does that all mean to me? Because again, you know, I'm not a bad person. I'm not a Jeffrey Dahmer or anything like that. Mm-hmm. Do I make mistakes? Yes.
Yes.
So why can't he just accept me the things that I've done in my life?
I think that everyone is accepted. Everyone is loved.
Okay. Everyone is accepted by who? Because certainly not by Christians, I can tell you that, right?
Even as Christians, I don't think we always get it right. Mm-hmm. Now, we're about to get real here.
Right. Okay, let's do that.
Even as Christians, I think that we have a lot to learn and a ways to go and grow in terms of getting in touch with that which is Christ or that which is creation itself.
So why do you guys walk around like we're all sinners and you guys aren't?
We shouldn't. Honestly,
I think it's more so because you hear that a lot from non-believers, like, well, you know, I'm doing this and I'm not going to hell. I feel great in my life. So what makes your life better than mine? And I know a lot of times Christians say, well, you know, it's God and God is love. And then it sounds like this perfect thing. And they're like, well, I can't be like that. But I think the biggest thing is just to me, it's a state of mind, you know, because I've had times when I've stepped away from salvation because I just felt like it was too much pressure. Mm-hmm. It was too much pressure to do good. Mm-hmm. It was too much pressure, and it seemed like everybody else was just having so much fun. But because I was a Christian, because I was saved, I had that salvation, I immediately recognized when I stepped away from it, and it was a feeling. It wasn't that I wasn't perfect. It's just as I live my life and I experience certain things, there was a darkness to me. There was something missing. Mm-hmm. You know, so I feel like as far as salvation, you're being saved from darkness in a sense. You know, when you are hit with certain things in life, because we're going to be hit. You know, life is not perfect. Mm-hmm. We're going to go through some things. But if you are saved and you have salvation, you have something to go back to as opposed to some dark place or some vice or something that some people may have.
Okay, so now I've heard from you Christians that Christ is the only way to your salvation. You know, now I've heard Bill Gates and Oprah say that there are many ways to salvation. And Oprah had a successful show, right? Bill Gates is one of the richest people on the world. Now, the person you guys claim to have saved you, well, let's be honest here, right? We're being honest, was a homeless carpenter who was executed by the state.
Okay.
Right? I'm following. So, you know, why should I listen to, again, a homeless person who was a carpenter who was literally executed in his 30s by the state? Why should I listen to somebody? But you got successful people who have done very well for themselves, you know what I'm saying? And they are the epitome of the American dream and everything that goes right. So why this person and not these people?
He was more than a carpenter. He may have been that, but he had a way of moving people. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You know, he had a way of, you know, getting disciples, spreading a message. So on paper, he may have been a carpenter, but he moved people to the point that caused his execution. You know, the leaders at that time saw that power. Mm. You know, I'm sure in the early years, they probably did dismiss it. He's just a carpenter. Mm-hmm. But when they saw how he had a message and he was able to spread that message mm-hmm. amongst the world, and then those people spread that message, they had to stop it. So mm-hmm. if he really was truly a carpenter, he probably would have never been executed because there's no threat.
I will add to that, that a mm-hmm. Homeless carpenter who had a ministry for over just, 3 years, somehow managed to get Time itself named after him.
What do you mean by that?
Well, we have Time.
We do, you talking about CE and BCE? Mm-hmm.
BC and AD.
Yep.
Oh, Miss Miss Historian here. Yeah.
But not only that. I mean, so, yeah, no cable television, no mass communication format, no, he had his thoughts and he had his beliefs and he shared them and it must have clicked with somebody. Mm-hmm. Now, this is where we as Christians sometimes fall into trouble. How then do we carry that message to others? How then do we exhibit that mm-hmm. message to mm-hmm. others? I think that's where sometimes the church holistically falls short. We let down the gospel. Mm-hmm. We think we put ourselves in front of the news.
So, we left off with salvation. B, you were talking about, what exactly were you talking about?
I said several different things. I'm not sure what what type of reaction I'm about to get. But the main thing I talked about, or one of the things I talked about, was that sometimes as Christians, we don't carry that message effectively mm-hmm. to others. I think that's where we let the messenger down. And I think that in terms of building walls, separating ourselves from other people, creating barriers to inclusion mm-hmm. is in some ways where we drop the ball as Christians. So,
yeah, and that was the point I was going to bring up about how Jesus actually gave us the framework for that, because there are a lot of times in the Bible where he touched the leper. You know, he went to the prostitute, the woman at the well. You know, he did things that was like on the Sabbath. So he tried to show, you know, it's okay as a Christian to go out and reach out to people we're probably not supposed to talk to or associate with. Mm-hmm. I believe sometimes some Christians, they don't want to do that because of the perception. Like, I don't want to be seen talking to this person or that person. And then some people feel that, mm-hmm. you know, so they actually create their own separation, us versus them.
Now, one last question. Oh, did you have something?
Yes, I did.
Ms. Ricks.
Yes. So something that B said earlier that I thought was really, really good was that you said a lot of times, like us as believers or the church, the Big C church, we put ourselves ahead of the gospel. And, you know, gospel can be translated to the good news or, you know, the message of salvation. I thought that was really insightful. And I'm wondering if you can give any examples, like how do we put ourselves ahead of the message or put ourselves in front of the message?
You know, there's a show that I watch. I would imagine most folks at this table have seen it, The Chosen.
Yes.
There was a scene, and I hope I get this right, where Jesus had performed some incredible miracle, and there was a witness someone who was trying to get information about what Jesus had done, and he had come in contact with some Pharisees, and he's explaining, man, you should have seen what I just saw. It was amazing. It was spectacular. And the Pharisees, or the Pharisee in this particular case, was really engaged on what rule did he break. Mm. They were so litigious, and so they wanted to make sure that he, you know, was he unorthodox, right? Mm-hmm. Was his approach wrong in terms of what he did? And the guy walks away like, I just told this guy that this amazing thing just happened, and he's talking about, what rule did he break? Mm-hmm.
That's good.
Mm-hmm. And so I think that as Christians, we sometimes, you know, in terms of examples, we sometimes just get in the way of what the main message, I guess, to me, of the ministry of Jesus was all about. And we kind of put rules and structures and walls and barriers and things of that nature. You're not this type of person. You're not that type of person. You're not this type of person. And you, what you're doing is you're keeping people away from Jesus himself, mm-hmm. the message, the good news, salvation,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yep.
And that's not at all what I believe, what he wanted us to do.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, I think that's great. I can remember one time, well, actually a few times, where people have put themselves, you know, in front of the message, and I'm sure I've been a victim of it as well. But at a prior church that I used to attend, and, you know, I'll keep it, you know. I was newer to this congregation. And I remember on a certain night, they would have something called intercessory prayer.
Okay.
And so for those who may not know, like, you know, when we intercede or have intercessory prayer, it's basically just us praying for other people. I mean, that's as basic as I could put it. So typically, I guess what they would do, like during these nights of intercessory prayer, they would pray for, which we should, the government, the church, the leaders, the I would say, in my words, high level things. Okay. And so, like, I was new, like, coming to intercessory prayer, and I'm like, this is dope. And I was like, you know what? And you have to get up. Let me just also say this. So it was free to everybody to, like, get up and, like, go to the front of the church. You would grab the mic and just start praying and interceding and praying for other people. So I'm like, this is great. So I got up and I wanted to pray. Okay. And so I started praying for family members because I knew I had family members that, like, you know, and so I would just call, like, say their names and, like, praying and saying their names, and then, like, sat back down. And then at the end of this particular night, one of the pastors was like, such and such said that this isn't what intercessory prayer is for. Like, we don't pray for individual people. Like, you know, we, like, intercessory prayer is, like, you know, for other things. And I'm like, I think we're missing the mark here. Right. And I mean, and I was younger too. I was in my 20s. I mean, I'm still like 29, but I was in my early 20s. And I mean, and that could have really been a turnoff. And knowing, like, how I was back then, like, it's very surprising that I remained there for a few more years because it would have been a turnoff. Like, and I think that goes in line to what B was saying, you know, like, a lot of times it was unnecessary. You know what I'm saying? Like, I think the core of intercessory prayer is for us to, like, you know, pray for other people. And if they were offended that, like, I just pray for individual people that I knew.
But it's not like you were saying, pray for me. Like, I'm Erica, and just pray for me, and I want this, and I want that, and this, that, and the other. You were praying for other people.
Yes.
Erica.
Oh, Rick's.
They about to come for me. They about to come for me.
Well, we definitely got to cut this part, you know. So, but one last question. And so actually two, it's one question in two halves. First half is this: how does this whole salvation process work? What changes in me? Do I get a superpower? Is there a certain ability? How do I recognize another one of you and all that? And two, if you guys say, do you believe that Jesus is the only way to heaven? There's no other path. Yeah, I need to hear not, but yes.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Yeah. So, I mean, Rick's is here. And, you know, totally. I believe that there is one way. Jesus said, okay. I am the way.
Do you B and Fifi, you guys believe the same theory? You believe that's the only way?
I think there are characteristics in Jesus's.
Yes or no?
No, it's a nuanced question.
Actually. No. It's actually quite clear, you know. So.
Yeah, but I think there are characteristics to the teachings of Jesus that will allow people to be a good person, love each other, love God. Those are steps to essentially fellowship. Now, those are things that other people who may not follow or may not say, well, I'm not going to accept Jesus as my Lord and Savior, but they may be doing those things. This is where, let me say this. No, I can't say that. Be the best person you can be.
So, yes or no? Is that the only path, or are you saying that there's another nuance?
I'm going to say, I don't know. Okay. I'm going to say that from a biblical perspective, you will see most Christians say yes.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to say, it depends on how you define God, Jesus, and heaven. The Bible says certain things, mm-hmm. right? And I'm going to get myself in so much trouble.
You no. sure are, boy. I can't wait to put this.
No, but whoa. No, keep, like, I think good. This is really good. Like, yeah. keep going.
But I don't know. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I don't know.
Okay.
Yeah, and I think that's probably where that's I'm cool. going
to
land.
Phoebe?
I know. And, well, I'm going to say yes.
Okay.
I'm going to say yes, you know, and it's to explain it. Jesus is the way. And, you know, and like I mentioned before, you know, he has this framework. And I know that B said something. You said something about be all you can be or be the best I can be. But I think that's the whole point. Like, Jesus showed us the best to be. You know, he showed us how to live a life. And I feel like following his path is that way.
So my follow-up question to that is, you do realize that 60% of the rest of the world believes in other things. So right. you're saying, the two out of the three, you're saying that everybody else is going to hell. Right?
No, I would say, like I mentioned before, his way is that way. You know, like
okay. So, but you believe that his way is the only way. So, and so the rest of the population of the planet, you're saying that no. You're saying
I'll explain.
Yeah, because I just want to make this clear. So you're saying he's the only way. So everyone else has to go to hell if we don't believe what you believe. Ooh, dramatic pause. I love it. Now think about that. You know, now are you Christians or are you summertime Christians? Sometime here, sometime there, I'm a Christian. Now, let's think about this.
If Jesus is love,
mm-hmm.
let's put that on the table as fact.
Mm-hmm.
Then I think that through that, I am mandated to love the Muslim. I am mandated to love...
The Muslim is going to go to hell because he doesn't believe what you believe.
The Muslim who just doesn't believe what I believe. I'm not authorized to say whether someone is or isn't going to hell. What I feel my mandate is, as a follower, is to either, more than anything else, either communicate the message of Christ or exhibit the message of Christ. Outside of that is people stuff, as far as I'm concerned. What I will also add, though, is that it is okay for me to, and this is where I'm not maybe as traditional. I think that he mandates me to love the Muslim, love the homosexual, love the prisoner, love the rich person who doesn't care about other people or something to that effect.
I appreciate the fact that you love him. You're not answering my question.
But this goes back to when I said his way. So okay. Meaning there was a time when I mentioned before I kind of stepped away
mm-hmm.
and I looked into other religions.
Okay.
You know, I looked into other religions like Buddhism, Hinduism, Muslim, things like that. And what I'm going to say may be controversial, but mm-hmm. there was this quote I came upon and it says, Jesus wasn't a Christian. Muhammad wasn't Muslim. I think it was Buddha wasn't whatever. Mm-hmm. They were all just teachers.
Mm-hmm.
And from what I learned is they all, if you really get past the, I don't know, the different, they're all teaching the same messages in a sense. They may be different paths or they may be different ways, but in the end, all of those messages are based in love. I know some people take things to the extreme in some of those religions, but so,
and ours.
Yeah. So what I say is Jesus's way. That's what I mean. You know, I'm not saying a lot of these other religions are going to hell, but if you really look at the core of their beliefs and you don't get too much into the extremism, the core of the beliefs are pretty much almost all the same.
Okay.
Now, I must interject here, and by we're probably going to be here for the full 2 hours. to go on what Fifi is saying, I think without getting too deep, right? So the Jewish faith, the Muslim faith, and like the Christian faith, like they all have really the Old Testament in common. So going in line with what you were saying, right? Like, so we all like differ at the point really of Jesus Christ, but we know like, okay, I won't even go there. But anyway, so like, especially like with the Jewish faith, and the Christians, like we share the Old Testament, and I shouldn't say that Muslims share the Old Testament. Where Muslims split up is between like Abraham and Isaac and
Ishmael.
Yeah, Ishmael. So we all have some type of core commonality, right? But I personally wouldn't go as far as to say that Jesus, Buddha, and who's the Muslim guy?
Muhammad.
Okay.
The Muslim guy.
that they were the same as teachers. Because we know, as Christians, we believe that, let me just say, Ricks, because I'm Ricks. Yes. I believe that Jesus was different because he was a teacher, but he was also God. And I think that that's what was so controversial about Jesus when he stepped on the scene, because they were like, some called him prophet and, you know, teacher, rabbi, but no, Jesus was fully man. And then I also believe, and believers believe, that Jesus was fully God. And that's where the, you know, comes in, because that's what sets him apart. And he does challenge us to say, I am the only way, because to Jay's point, it draws a line. It's black or white. For some things, it's black or white. And I do believe that those who do not believe, there will be a consequence.
But that's the unfairness of how we perceive salvation in my mind. If I was born in Iran, I would have a totally different view. Or if I was born in Japan.
Well, according to your Bible, it says that you are held accountable for the gospels, whether you have heard it or not, which I find kind of unfair, because there, you guys use a term that's called unreached people groups. These are people who have never heard about Jesus for generations, and they're still held accountable. So do those people go to hell?
I think but that's the question. Are they? So this is 2000 years ago.
Are they unreached?
Are they still held accountable?
Oh, okay.
Over 2,000 years ago, our Savior was nailed on the cross for everybody. Mm-hmm. Whether you're born in the darkest part of some, you know, third world country, or, you know, in the most affluent country in the history of the world, the United States, he died for everyone. He died for everyone that's going to be coming long after all of us are gone.
Okay, so again, using that as a benchmark, your Bible also states that in order for you to be saved, you must confess with your mouth and believe in your heart. Mm-hmm. So apparently, according to you, I have to do those two things before I get my own personal superpower, whatever that is. You guys can have to tell
me. We never said that. Oh, okay. Just to put that on the record.
Well, I mean, you guys are saying, okay, when you get saved, you become new creatures, changed and new and all that other stuff, and then you can heal the sick and cure the blind. That is what your disciples did, right? So can you, what's your superpower? What can you do? Can you cure the blind?
I could stay in my seat and not get physical. With Hilda at the table and put my hands around their throats.
I think that following the path of Jesus is a mindset. That's what changes. Right.
Okay.
Be changed by renewing of your mind. Mm-hmm. Okay. Your circumstances may not change. Something that may or may not be going right or wrong in your life may not change. But your mindset about who you are as a person, your identity, how you define yourself, those are the things I think that change.
Okay.
Now, will I have all the answers? Am I magical in any meaningful way? No. Mm-hmm. Right. Am I still capable of just messing up on any given day at any given time? Absolutely. But am I aware of another path? Right. I think that's the difference.
Okay. And with that, unless Speepy, you got something?
No, thank you.
Okay, I do. So what I also want to say is, I know we don't want to get too bogged down, and, you know, I'll take this offline, right, Jay, but, you know, because we believers believe that the word of God is authoritative and it's divine, and it, you know, and so a lot of what we believe, we point back to the word of God. So I don't know how many scriptures you want us to pull up and read or not, but what I do want to say is that that the word of God tells us that even creation acknowledges God, right? So for the unreached people groups, even if it's not an actual person bringing them the gospel, I do believe there is some exposure to God's presence and who he is. So even though they're unreached people groups, God is still there, and there's still something that exhibits the beauty, the creation of God.
Are they saved from hell?
Well, they may not have been reached by a person, but at some point they have been reached by God.
Yes. Yes.
Are they saved from hell?
Hey, I'm the host.
Oh, okay. He said the man got questions.
No, but let me pause this. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back in a few minutes.